Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Neurodiversity. It's a relatively new term that describes someone who perhaps thinks and communicates differently than today's accepted norms. And there's a focus on diversity and inclusion becoming more and more prominent in the workplace. So how can we make sure that people who can be a vital asset to any team are supported? Well, I'm joined now in the studio by Julie Galbraith, who's employment law partner with Evershed Sutherland. Julie, you're very welcome. Thank you for being here. It's an umbrella term, isn't it, really? Neurodiversity, but can you give us some examples that might best explain the people and the conditions that we're talking about here, what we're covering?
Sure, absolutely. And you know, for your listeners, this probably isn't necessarily a new concept, it's just a new term. So we in Ireland use lots of words for many years, like on the spectrum or a normal person. And really, it's trying to educate all of us to use terms that are more inclusive. So we might not talk now about neuroatypical and neurotypical people. And for many of us who are in the workplace and gathering and collecting and working in a normal way, we might be considered neurotypical people. Mm-hmm. And for others who are accessing the workplace with different types of spectrums, they are neurodiverse. They would include things like autism, Asperger's, dyslexia, hyperlexia, lots of many different terms. And really, it's where we as employers and organisations that support employers need to take more active steps in supporting people who are both accessing the workplace and are already in the workplace in terms of doing their best.
So it goes beyond awareness, really.
Absolutely.
And it goes beyond respect, although it includes both of those things. We want to go beyond that, and we might go through what we mean by that in a moment. But just coming back to the person who might describe themselves as being neurodiverse, do you advise potential candidates who are going into a workplace to disclose that in their application or in their interview? How should that work?
That will very much so come back to the individual. And some people may not feel comfortable disclosing whether they are on the ASD spectrum or anything else, but they absolutely can. And the Employment Equality Act will be the piece of legislation that will sit behind all of this. They will ensure that an employer cannot discriminate anyone in terms of ongoing employment or access to employment. And the ground under the Employment Equality Act, which is relevant here, is the disability ground. So any of the things that we are talking about today would all come within the definition of disability under the Employment Equality Act. And that would say that an employer can't treat anyone differently or less favourably because of that kind of a diagnosis. So for an individual, it might very much so be up to them and also up to the kind of organisation that they're applying for. So if, for example, they were applying for Microsoft or Accenture, those organisations have really good comprehensive policies on their recruitment website, which would very proactively not just encourage a disclosure, but then would say, and if you disclose, this is what we will do next. So they have supportive systems in place to support someone coming forward like that. If you were applying to maybe a smaller organisation in Ireland or abroad that just doesn't necessarily have the same knowledge, it may be that the person wants to get their feet under the table a little bit before then talking about what reasonable accommodations they need.
Mm-hmm. That's if they get through the interview process, which is designed to be very stressful because
yes.
The employer wants to see, well, how are you going to work under pressure? That might really not suit somebody who falls into one of these categories.
Absolutely. And that's where we would absolutely encourage employers to think a little bit differently. And I am on many an interview panel, and I'm sure you have done some too. They're not easy for the interviewers. They're not easy for the candidates. And maybe this is where we try and think a bit differently about how we assess recruitment and assess candidates. And there are lots of examples in terms of some of the charities that work with individuals with additional needs that will talk about what an employer can do in those scenarios. And that might be things like giving the interview questions out in advance. And I know in our organisation and others, that seems like a very difficult decision to do. Surely we want to test people on the spot. Mm-hmm. We want to know how they operate under pressure. But for every job, we don't actually need to know how people operate under pressure. It's not necessary for, I would say, 70% of many of the jobs that are out there. It's a day-to-day job, whether it's data entry or dealing with customers. Operating under that level of pressure is not a necessary component. So we would encourage employers to think about providing access to questions in advance. And then very simple things. Can you give more information to your candidates on what the recruitment process is like? So if they get through the online application, can you provide some support there about how they actually input their data into those forms? Is there an ability for someone to ring a person who needs extra support to talk them through the questions? Then very simple things that you can have on your website, such as if you're interviewing with Evershed Sutherland, you will come to our offices on Earlsford Terrace. There is a lift in the basement, but there is on-street access that has steps. Once you come to our reception, you'll meet with our receptionist, Joanne. You'll then be brought into an interview room.
So you're describing everything that's going to happen, which makes it easy. Now, you might have employers listening to this going, why would I want to do all of that? Tell us about the advantages of hiring people who are neurodiverse.
Absolutely. And there are so many advantages. And the other piece is those employers may already have people in their workplace that are neurodiverse. They just don't think of them in that way. They might think things like, well, Julie is very specific. We have to give Julie very specific information. She will get stressed if the photocopier doesn't work on the second floor and someone has to remind her, actually, just use the one upstairs. So a lot of us may have people in your workplaces that are already like that. But to answer your question, neurodiverse people can bring a whole range of different ways of thinking to an organisation. So I might be a very lateral thinker as a lawyer. I think about things in terms of risk. I analyse risk and I give advice. But a neurodiverse person may see a broader circle there. They may actually help many organisations to adapt in the changing world. They may be very technical in terms of process, IT, maths, and those are just generic examples.
Yeah.
Neurodiverse people bring a huge new way of thinking into an organisation, which is absolutely to be embraced.
Mm-hmm. And what about the person who feels that perhaps the application process is trying to weed them out and lock them out of that process? What can they do?
Well, maybe in those circumstances, that would be a time where they would declare that they have some additional needs, and within that, they ask for specific examples. When I answered your question at the outset about whether someone should declare or not, it very much so does come down to the organisation. And sometimes organisations don't realise that through the information that they give out, that they would give an impression to someone that they are locking them out. Whereas in fact, they may actually have wonderful values and think they are inclusive and collaborative, but their processes are not. And that might be where an indication to the recruitment team, to HR, to the person who's hiring for that role can actually prompt some of those changes in terms of simple things like the questions or the access to the application form. And again, there are a lot of charities that would help. There's a very good charity in Ireland called As I Am, and the individual may be aware of the support that As I Am can provide. And that's another option for someone in that scenario. It's to get in touch with some of the organisations around it. Another point linked to that on the employer and that type of form is I would really encourage employers to actually be proactive on this one. So look at some of those organisations like As I Am, or another person who's wonderful in this area is Sinead Burke and Tilting the Lens. So mm-hmm. Sinead Burke, you may be aware of as a little person. She has so much support and advocacy for people with simply additional needs coming into the workplace. Someone like Sinead Burke could be wonderful to come into an organisation in terms of, we actually had her in Evershed Sutherland for our International Women's Day event, where she can simply talk about her experiences and the very small things that helped her right along the way. That can create a really inclusive environment and then can prompt those questions.
Yeah, well, those sort of interventions can open people's eyes really to what can and should be done. Julie, thank you very much for coming in. That's Julie Galbraith, who's employment law partner with Evershed Sutherland.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.